Hello, welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Today is count day, the day when every student sitting at his or her desk means state dollars for that district. Across the state, schools are using a variety of tactics to ensure maximum attendance, from robocalling parents to picture days to prizes for kids who turn up. With us now is Chastity Pratt Dawsey, education writer for Bridge Magazine. Just how important is count day for Michigan schools?
It is the day. The majority of state funding is going to be determined on today's count and a little bit from last spring. You mix those two numbers together, you have the per pupil allotment. That's the day, today. So really, it counts more if you're in a district that is struggling with enrollment or if you're in a district that is looking at potential deficit, might be on the fence on the border. These are the districts that cannot afford to lose students. So they definitely want as many students as they can get to be in the classroom today.
Chastity, is this as important for charter schools as for public?
Absolutely. And in some charter schools, probably even more so. You're talking about schools that are not able to get capital improvement millages. You're talking about charter schools that, you know, they're losing students as well. So, and also charter schools don't have as much funding as some of our districts across the state. You don't have any hold harmless charter schools getting 12, 10, 15,000 or whatever thousand per student. So it's very important for charter schools because their funding formula is a little bit different from other public schools. And they're, again, losing students in some of our urban areas where they're really concentrated.
So what happens, Chastity, if today's headcount isn't what the district was expecting or hoping for?
In a city like Detroit that is still on the precipice of solvency, of, you know, not being in deficit, it is very important. Every student lost, every student that, you know, you don't get, that you anticipated in your budget having, that's less money that the state is going to be giving you starting this month, starting in October, I believe. And so what happens is you have to start cutting if you don't get as many students, if you don't get as much funding as you anticipated. So it's really crucial.
So here we see districts have to operate with less money. So you lay off staff, you cut programs, you try to consolidate and streamline, which, of course, diminishes the end product. So parents send their kids elsewhere, and that downward spiral will continue.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and this is the legacy of Proposal A, which, of course, as you know, is our state school aid funding formula. And, you know, we do this in Michigan differently than other states. You know, people wonder, why is Michigan in such dire straits financially as far as schools go and educationally? Because we don't do what the winners are doing. Look at the gold standard, Massachusetts. If you lose students there, there's a formula. You're not going to lose all of that money that student would have brought in that one year. It's a gradual process for, you know, weaning you off of that state aid when your enrollment is declining. Even in Ohio, they say, okay, we're going to have a funding system that's based partly upon the wealth of the district that you're living in. And when you lose students, you know, there's like a gradual step down process. And so Michigan, you lose a student, that's $8,000, or in the case of Detroit, $7,600 you're not going to get straight away. And it can be, it can really put districts in dire straits when they're trying to say, okay, now that we don't have those students, what do? You're cutting as you're educating.
Yeah. And in fact, as we talked to a couple of very frustrated school board folks who are stepping down, had enough, who said, how are you supposed to be planning your budget for the year when, as you say, they could wind up losing money, you know, next month?
Exactly. And so it's a guessing game for a lot of these districts saying, okay, next year's budget, we think we'll have, and like in Detroit, we think we'll have 45,000 students. And here you go on count day. And if they don't make that number, bam, you got to start cutting immediately. Whereas in other states, they say, okay, you didn't make your number, we'll gradually wean you off this money. We won't snatch it all away at once. It's a really tough situation for districts. And even some of our wealthier districts are seeing enrollment declines. These districts might have a little money in the bank so they can take it a little better. But urban districts, districts, districts where, you know, they're on the fence, it's a blow. And so that's why you see in some of these urban districts, in districts that don't have as much money and are losing enrollment, they do these little enticements to get kids to come to school on count day.
Begging parents.
Oh, please, there's pizza parties, there's you don't have to wear your uniform today, just come to school. And, you know, the enticement should be a quality education. But a lot of these districts cannot afford some of the educational quality enticements, such as, you know, reading tutors or such as advanced placement or IB classes. So they have to resort to come to school, and we'll have giveaways today.
You know, I think, Chastity, school funding, it's one of those issues that doesn't really make it onto your radar screen until you have kids going to school. So taking us back to 1994 with Proposal A, what was the reason for that, and what did it do that has put the schools of, you know, being on bended knee today on count day?
What it did is it totally redid how we fund schools. It added 2 cents to the sales tax, which gives us our current 6% sales tax, and it allowed property owners across the state to get a property tax cut because, you know, now we're going to get most of the funding from sales tax. However, of course, as we know, when you know, there's a bad economy or, you know, we don't get as much as we anticipated in sales taxes, the schools are going to take a hit. So that's one bad thing. But the other point of Proposal A was to try and close the gap between low-funded districts and higher-funded districts. The gap has closed some in the 22 years or so, but in order for a district such as Detroit to catch up to a wealthy district like Birmingham, for instance, my kids' kids will be in school before that happens. You know, it's an $8,000 or like $5,000 difference there. So it was supposed to give taxpayers a break, and it was also, or property taxpayers a break, also supposed to close the gap. And the problem is at the same time, a couple years later, we had charter schools, we had schools of choice, we had what is commonly referred to as free market schools of choice, let people pick where they want to go to school, and a lot of kids moving in, moving out, enrollment started to go up and down and move all around and made it really hard for public school districts to project their enrollment with kids coming and going and you know, districts trading students. That's really what puts some of these districts on bended knee. They don't know from year to year exactly how many kids they're going to have.
Now, have there been any moves towards trying to correct some of these problems that have come from Proposal A?
Well, there's been an effort in Lansing to try and figure out how much should Michigan be paying to provide an adequate education. They called it the adequacy study, because right now what we're doing is we're paying schools what we think we can afford in Michigan, not necessarily basing it on what an education should cost. So this adequacy study that was done by the legislature or approved by the legislature said, look, Michigan needs to be paying about $8,300 per pupil. And right now, you know, there are districts getting $7,200, $7,600. And there are some that are getting 10, 11, like a couple dozen that are getting far, far more. But the adequacy study said at least $8,300. And now the next step would be for the legislators and the governor and all the educators to get on the same accord and say, okay, do we believe that this study is true? We need $8,300 minimum. And if so, how do we get there? That's the next step. However, that's a huge lift. That's totally redoing our system. That's doing a Massachusetts-level reform. And so far, we've not seen the political will for that.
And parents, really, it seems as if they're stuck on the sidelines, unable to really influence it. Or can they? Is there anything parents who care and understand this situation can do to help their districts?
We always like to think that parents and voters are the, you know, most influential people in the state. So, but the problem is this is such heady, complicated stuff, you know, to get a movement behind changing the formula for schools and improving the funding structure is hard stuff. It's hard to understand and it's hard to do. It's going to take someone really, some good leadership, probably out of Lansing, and maybe even the unions being involved to get everyone on the same page. But parents, once there is a clear way forward, I mean, property tax owners were the ones who said, give me property tax relief, and therefore we got Proposal A. So, yeah, regular folks can move this.
Chastity Pratt-Dossie, Bridge Magazine. As always, Chastity, thank you so much.
Anytime.